Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Here we are practicing again. Fabulous.
Here we are. Here we are, the very best.
Great. I have announcements here.
All right.
Two of our most popular programs, Reflective Listening Buddies and Keeping Commitments Buddies, are starting new quarters July 15th. The registration deadline is next week. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And
well,
a few reminders.
Good.
Yes, it does. And a few reminders, if you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry tonight, please do so by pressing *6 and then 1 to make our show. And I'll encourage folks to do that, to get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is fabulous. All right, let's jump right into it.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. Well, I mentioned this morning I wanted to call in because I took on your challenge of from the letter from the guide of looking at something that, yeah. So I'll just try to do a quick, well, I don't know if it has to be quick, but the situation, I've been volunteering for the last couple of years with an organization that I think a lot of. I mean, it does wonderful work planting trees, and for lack of other people stepping forward, there are two of us that have sort of taken on the leadership with that, and it's gone really well. And what came up for me in this last 6 months is I don't want to do this anymore. And it's come up in different forms. So there's a lot of, as you might imagine, there is more than one player in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been recording and listening quite a bit about it to get a handle on, you know, who's here, who has these feelings, what's going on. And I did write down, quote, the reasons, but what things sort of got fleshed out earlier today with the one who really doesn't want to continue, and the reasons behind that. And so anyway, I just wanted to run it by you because I did take the first step. Last night we had a meeting, and I mentioned for the first time that I was going to be cutting back. I didn't know how that was going to look yet, but that was my intent. And for me, after the meeting ended, it was very strange, Sherry. It felt like a void. It was the oddest feeling. Not that it was bad, but just like nothing was there. Nothing. And so that was one thing. But today, the recording and listening really brought out that I love the organization. I have been happy to contribute. But that where I'm unhappy is that I don't have the skills. For 2 years, I've worked on getting the skills necessary, technological skills, to be able to do really what needs to be done. And it causes nothing but heartache, whatever we'd call it, suffering. In that pursuit. And finally, the part that showed up to me is, look, you know, I just want to plant trees. I just want to plant trees. I don't want to sit at my desk learning for another 2 years, you know, and it goes on. So I'm just trying, another big part is I have to be a contribution. And the pattern of always taking on responsibilities when no one has. It's been a strong pattern for many years. And so letting go of that has been a big part of the challenge.
And so, Jan, this process has happened before where you you start something because you enjoy whatever that is, and then you wind up taking a role that you actually didn't sign up for because nobody else is doing it, and so you just step in and take responsibility. And is that whole process familiar?
It is not. The one thing that I can turn to that maybe 35 years ago I was in a position working a job. It was really, everybody said, oh, you are so lucky. And, it was just one of those ideal jobs, everybody would say. And I knew I needed to leave. I just knew. I didn't have reasons. I just intuitively knew it was time to go. And that's the sense I have in this. I don't know. I mean, I have reasons, but that mm-hmm. doesn't feel like the crux of it. It's just intuitively, it feels like it's time to move on to something else. Not completely. I can contribute, but not in the way that, not taking on so much responsibility. I'm feeling trapped. There's a part that feels trapped in it mm-hmm. and is suffering with it.
Well, you said you wanted to plant trees. You didn't want to take on whatever the organizational role is.
I don't want to sit at the computer and do all of the
yeah.
that needs
yeah.
to be done there. Yeah.
Or the other piece that you mentioned, learn stuff that you don't have any interest in learning, and it sounds like maybe it's not anything. Yeah. That you have to go through a lot to learn it.
I have to. And it's incredibly, well, in my recording this morning, I think the real suffering part, a big part of the suffering part, I am constantly having to ask my spouse or someone else how to do things. I mean, this is where I feel like a burden. I feel unskilled. I don't feel good about it. And it's constant. And I thought, wait a minute, someone else will be really, mm-hmm. this. So that's what's going on, but there is also that part that doesn't want to let the organization and the people down. I love the people. I love what we do. So that's there's some suffering.
Well, and does it feel like one of those places where if you said we need to find somebody else to do this? I'm willing to keep it up for X amount of time, and then somebody else just simply has to take it on. Would that be uncomfortable?
Yeah, I sort of have done, and not quite as direct as that, but I've been working for the last 6 to 9 months on breaking down the responsibilities, recruiting volunteers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't panned out as well as I might have hoped. Several people have stepped forward, but it hasn't been for the breadth of what is needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so,
that is going on a little bit.
Does it feel like if you moved out of the role that you're in currently, that it would be uncomfortable simply to join the tree planting arm of the organization?
It would not be uncomfortable for me.
Right. I mean, would you sense hard feelings or resentment or?
I think it would be, for me, it would be the guilt that because that the responsibilities would then probably go to there are two of us that are in the main leadership. And I think, I think she would end up with even more. That's my work is to try to make sure that doesn't happen. But so to answer your question, I would be fine with that, except there might be guilt if people didn't step forward.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what does guilt say?
What would guilt say?
Mm-hmm.
Look what you've done. Now she has even more. You backed out because it was too much. You didn't want it. That's not what the heart was after. And look what she's got now.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so we hear some you voices in there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You're being told how what you are doing is not okay.
Right. Right.
And yet what I heard from you is that you would be fine with this.
I would be happy. If I look at what would make this person happy, planting trees is a joy, working with the other volunteers is a joy. So in that sense, very happy. Yeah, it's that excited.
Uh-huh. Except for the you voices.
Oh, well, Sherry, I guess yes.
Does that feel so to you?
Yeah, except that the you voices right now are feeling like they would be speaking the truth.
Well,
oh, that's where I'm stuck. Yeah, that's where I'm stuck. Okay.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
If you didn't feel like they're speaking the truth, you wouldn't believe them.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like when you voices come at us, they're able to come at us because we believe what they're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I know that, but boy, in, you know, certain content, there's that blinders. This was one of them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so your colleague, have you talked to her about it?
No. I have not one-to-one. We have a meeting set up to do that. But I thought it was sort of a gentle, well, my intent was to have a gentle introduction with everybody last night. And then to follow up with her. I think she knew. I mean, anyway. But yes, the follow-up is going to happen.
Yeah. And so if the roles were reversed, would you resent her?
No.
Would you want her to...
I'd be jealous.
Yeah, you'd be jealous. But would you want her to feel guilty?
No. No, and she's not that kind of person. So, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sounds like it might be a little bit of a setup, huh?
Well, yeah, but it's trying to look at it from all perspectives, and I think that's a really important one. When the you voice comes in, to look at what I'm taking as being the truth and check it out.
Yeah, because this isn't the first time you felt guilty, is it?
No, I'd say no to that one, Sherry. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, they kind of go together, Jan. The person who steps up to do something they don't really want to do because it feels like the right thing, you know, I love the organization, I love the people, I really want it to be successful. Nobody else is doing it. Well, I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's a person who's going to feel guilty when they don't do that.
It's true. And I have to say, as you said that, what dropped in is that I admire the people that are true to themselves and whatever the situation, work, volunteer, whatever, and let everyone know what that what that looks like.
Yeah.
What that means.
In a kind, honest, respectful
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is really helpful. Thank you. It's just, you know, there are so many players. Like you said in the letter from the guide, whatever that's titled, the upside of all of this is I've gotten to know some of the players that I think have been ignored or not recognized, both. Yeah. So it's been really helpful.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've gotten a lot out of this, right? Lots and lots and lots out of
Absolutely.
This 2 years.
Yes. Yes. And in the situation right now as well, because I've had to look so deeply and work
yes.
with it so
yes.
much.
Yes.
And it's, as everyone often says, our assignments, whether it's the year-long or year letter, went right to it. So,
yeah.
Very
good. Because you're a practitioner and you're going to use everything in your experience to see how you cause yourself to suffer so that you can drop that and end suffering.
Yes, and that was part of the recording this afternoon is with the mentor, the acknowledging of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, the acknowledging and gratitude that there are the tools and the willingness to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if you weren't a practitioner, that ego system would have you devote yourself for 2 years to this organization and leave feeling bad.
Yeah, and that's no fun.
That's no fun at all. No fun at all. And it's not valid, right? But it's that same thing. You know, you run every day for 20 years, and then you decide you don't want to do that anymore for whatever reason, and the voices just start piling on. You know, that there's something wrong with you now. There's no, my gosh, wow, you did that for, oh, my gosh, that's outrageous. Congratulations. Once we realize that, yeah.
No,
now you can have a party for that person who has so sincerely given through great difficulty.
Yeah, a lot of challenges. No, that did come out this afternoon, just acknowledging all that's been given and appreciation for that. And why would you feel bad when you're ready to make a change?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Sherry, so much.
You are so welcome. All right. Go happy.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. That was fabulous, Sherry.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
My goodness. Hi, y'all. Sherry, this is Jeannie from Berkeley.
Hey, Jeannie.
Incredible. I'm calling in with something I think is really good. And I know you don't have to have something exactly that I want to say, but I want to share this thing that's going on in my body in response to all the practice that I've been doing lately. And that sound good with you?
Yeah.
The more I'm constantly turning to being here, and I'm turning to notice if my heart is open, if my palm is clenched, or if it's facing up and open, doing that throughout the day. I've just been noticing that my ability to not go into the gates of hell. This is much bigger. And yesterday I was at a doctor's office where they warned me that without this is going to be really painful, and we're going to have to do this, it's going to be really painful. And it was really painful. And this young part of me that remembered having a lot of pain at doctors, you know, just started to want to wail and cry. And what came in was this loving, unconditional part that said, I've got you. You don't have to be here for this procedure. I am here to be here for this procedure. And I it's almost like that little part just got a hug, and I just shifted into the gates of heaven, you know? Wow. It was, and I just thought that, and
that's
since then, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I didn't try it. It just occurred.
Yeah.
And since then, I've had this feeling in my, like, expansiveness in my heart and belly as if there's some kind of alchemical energy happening, if that makes any sense to you. So I'm curious if you know about that. Yes, it's so interesting. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And the two things that stand out, there are probably more than two, but the fact that it just happened, right? It's not like you said, okay, all right, I'm going to turn my attention to the mentor and I'm going to, right? Which, you know, would have been a marvelous thing to do, and a sensible, intelligent, wonderful thing to do. But you didn't have to. It's like when people have told me over the years that they're just going around in their life and they hear a voice in their head that says, "I love you," and it's like nothing they've ever experienced before, because they know it's a love that they have not been aware of before. That it's not an aspect of the personality, it's not a memory, it's not anything. It's like the still small voice, and the still small voice just said, "I love you," and it's life changing, right? Because you know there's something going on that is so other than conditioning that it just really catches our attention. And the same thing, that's exactly what you described. The voice didn't say, "I love you," but it came down to the same thing, okay? To the person who is there, who is identified with a really young aspect of the personality, and then here's this voice that says, "I gotcha," you know, and it's fine. You don't need to be here. I'm gonna be here for this, and there you are, sitting there going, the equivalent of, "Who are you?" Right? And yet, on another level, where you couldn't come up with a name or a description or that sort of thing, you know what that is.
Mm-hmm. I do. And I mean, you have been saying it more and more over the last, month or so, about how we don't want to be looking through the parts. We want to be looking through unconditional love. And that's just been such clarity, I think, that's really helped everything get in alignment about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I so appreciate about you telling us about this experience is that there's so much in our culture, and I don't know, I suppose it's cultures around the world, I really don't know, but the idea that, so there you have this injured, wounded aspect of yourself, this young person who was traumatized early on. And so what you need to do is you need to go back there and get this person and bring them out and devote yourself to taking care of them and healing them from this. And none of that is required. Because as soon as you, in quotes, were there as that unconditional love, that young person is absolutely fine. Now, I'm not saying that in another situation, if that part of you were abandoned again, you know, then we don't know what would happen. But there was nothing, you know, I always say to people who are concerned about having young aspects of themselves who are traumatized and, you know, that whole devote myself to taking care of that person. They're children, right? They're emotionally, they're children. And what they want to do is enjoy life. They want to be happy. They don't want to be in hard circumstances. They don't want people to drag them through all of these awful, hard places. They just want to be unconditionally loved and allowed to simply be, just like the rest of us.
Yes, that makes so much sense. And I realized I've had a voice in my head that says I must have 3 dozen of these young traumatized kids that I've identified that now I need to slowly or slowly heal, but it's not true, right?
It's not true. Everything we need is happening in every moment. So if there's nothing going on that is requiring anything other than just simply being here and enjoying being here, that's that. If something arises from your past, or as Buddhists we can suspect, some other past, right? Something that is some energy that is associated with the energy that is here now that we call genie, it'll come up in the moment. It's here. And when it's here with an opportunity for healing. Now, most of the time, of course, we're not here.
Right.
So there is no healing. And in fact, it feels like the trauma just continues or even deepens because there's nobody here to welcome and embrace that that aspect and allow it to just simply be accepted, which is why, acceptance is such a very big deal because whatever it is that happened, whatever went on, as soon as there's absolute acceptance, it's over. It's done. Karma resolved.
Okay. So next week, then, my 20-year-old is coming home, and I am not able to go into the hell realms, it seems like, when he makes his political challenging, he does things to rile me up. So I'm going to be prepared,
Yes.
Next time.
Yes. Yes. And yes, to the best of our ability, of course, our preparation is being present.
Right.
Right? And what I'm projecting you're saying that you are taking away from this experience that you had is you need to be focused not on him, but on you. Right? And as he goes about winding you up, which, when you're that age, is such a good time, such a fun thing to do, right? Then you're going to be right there with the aspects of you that get triggered. And it's a workshop for you, and he'll have whatever experience he has. But you will get to see a lot. And the one thing I would hope is that whatever happens, there are no voices of self-hate allowed.
Right, right.
Yeah. If you just blow it completely and start shrieking, then that's just what happened. And that is what needs to be embraced, accepted, embraced, and allowed to be. Yeah.
Great. You projected correctly that that's what I'm going to do.
Good. Very good. Very good.
Thank you
so much. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you.
Big hug to everyone. Bye. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Jeannie. And that was fabulous, Sherry. And we are going to break to hear from Good News Update, and then we'll come back and talk more callers.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. And Jen, your guest is now live for Good News Update, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right, wonderful. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Laura, who is here to speak with us about her experience of how we use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Welcome, Laura.
Hey, Jen. I heard Sherry reference that earlier, and I thought, oh, what perfect synchronicity.
Exactly. Always. Yep. It always lines it right up.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the content of what I've been, it just has been, using plants that, so I have never taken on an identity of a gardener or someone who keeps things alive or anything in that nature. But I grew up with a mother who has a green thumb and can just make anything beautiful. And so the interesting piece it kind of snuck up and surprised me was for this Easter, I bought my sons these plants of their favorite vegetables. And it just seemed, I don't know, the idea just dropped in. I did it. And then right a couple of weeks before I had a major surgery, it occurred to me, like, if I don't plant these, they will be dead before, you know, when I come out of this. And so as I reflected back, knowing I was going to speak tonight, it was literally doing the next indicated thing. There was something that was available to me. There was a presence that was available where, like, I wanted to plant these things and I wanted to put them in good soil. And then, and so it's just one thing at a time. And it's become this really beautiful workshop where what I got to see is these plants are mirroring for me how to care. And then you insert plants or human, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's the plants, you know, it's like they're giving me a chance to see how caring actually does happen.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. And right from the start, it's just so clear the way you describe it, that the thing that's going to throw a monkey wrench in this is the conversation in the head. Mm-hmm. And so what you do instead is, nope, just this stuff, just this now, what now, right? And there it is. There's the information. It drops in. Ah, plant these before the surgery, right? And so you do. And in that process of doing that, of going through this workshop, you really see that it's being modeled for you, the process of care. And once you've got that process, any content can get plugged into that. All of life gets cared for in the process of care.
Right. And this really beautiful, you know, and there was just so many different kind of practice principles have just been dropping in since, you know, I planted these. And, you know, literally enjoying, like, if I would have tried to force myself to do this, right? Like, none of that would have been life, right? It would have been, you know, ego trying to, you know, plant things. And so as I can just recall, like, sitting with these, you know, cucumbers, right? And watching how the ego stories were starting to come up with the plants when I would encounter something that I didn't know how to do, right? Like, what is this on this plant? And what I got to see, a big, like, just an example of one was, there's a way that, as a, you know, conditioned human, if I'm identified, I actually don't want to see that. I'm finding my double negatives here. There, I saw that historically, I didn't want to see what was going on with this plant, because the meta message underneath that from ego is, I don't know how, I'll get it wrong, and there's something wrong with me. So I got to see so clearly that happens everywhere with this human, but I got to see it in a context that I was I could see it more clearly, and then now becomes the beautiful way of applying that, right, in other places in my life that may be a little harder for me to, you know, work with, in the same way that I do for I feel like for the love of the cucumbers, I'm showing up. You know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, it really is so perfect, because so you've got a lower stakes way to see these things that you realize, wow, that's absolutely everywhere. What a humongously powerful process to see that it's not even that you don't see, in this case, what's going on with the plant. It's that there's a whole process going on underneath it that I actually can't see that, because if I look at that, there's something wrong with me. I don't know how to do that. I mean, there's so much suffering that's going to put me in touch with that I actually am shutting off the seeing.
Right. So why would I ever, right? Because the messaging is, you're something's wrong. So don't ever take this on.
Right. And it's one of those things, Laura, isn't it, where it's like when you see it, it engenders huge compassion, because no wonder she doesn't want to see it. It's almost, there's almost an intelligence in that. And it's also such a testament to practice. It reminds me of both, you know, the calls we've had tonight already on the show, where it's seeing all that, it's easy to see that there's a space that's opened up in your practice that creates almost a safety, we could say, for you to start to be able to see what's actually going on with the plant, literally and metaphorically, everywhere in life.
A big, fat, capital Y-E-S, right? You know, with asterisks and underlining. And it's so interesting, is like it's like the grace at which the plant, you know, there is some grace if I don't, in the beginning, like these plants sat and weren't getting watered, weren't getting, anything. It's like barely kept them alive. And now I basically check in with them morning and night, you know, and I'm learning and it's fun. It reminds me of Ashwini's book, Learning to Love Learning.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
that it's fun. And oh my goodness, like, and I'm researching because there's that presence to not let self-hate, not let ego come in. Because I actually do want, I want the plants to grow, and only ego would stop that. And so what you just said is that safety of like, oh, interesting that that doesn't happen as consistently for the human.
Yes, exactly. And so exciting to realize you are truly learning a process. You are
exactly
truly learning a skill. And you're learning all the things, like to be trustworthy, to show up, to realize, to watch the person actually doing that and realize, okay, this is absolutely translatable, and how fun it's going to be, because you know it's going to happen, right? You know you're going to stay with it until it does happen, that it translates to treating the human being. So, boy, that's going to be an adventure for us to go on together to support each other in that process.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, as I sat down to, as I was like kind of writing some things out, recording around it, is that there's so many things. And one of the other thing that I saw that was really big is how ego can use excitement and then create this, oh, well, let's get more plants. Let's get, and historically I will take on so many things that then it's, and I saw, it was really fun to see it and be like, nope, I've got five plants. I've got a basil, a tomato, a cucumber, and a pepper. We're not doing anything more. That's enough. And
that's so big.
It was really fun to that the no was actually a yes. Like, nope, we're not. It's a no to ego was like, we are just going to let ourselves enjoy and being able to harvest and then enjoy the taste and learn, you know, just this, all of it. It's just really been fun.
I mean, and talk about attention is the highest form of love. There you have it.
Yes.
You know, because you're just describing falling in love with these little babies. You know, and then I project, that's why it's so clear that that's an ego process. Oh, you know, it's supposed to be fun and exciting. Like, oh, well, we could do this and we could do that. It's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I am giving all of my attention to these five little babies. These are my, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go somewhere off with you. Ego that's going to get me distracted and pull me down the road of, I am just in love here with these folks and just,
Yeah.
Incredible.
And then the last thing that piggybacks off of the last conversation was this place around, even what you're saying, there is no room for ego. Like when I'm sitting there, you know, putting my fingers in the dirt, kind of getting, because I literally didn't know, I bought a water meter. And then I was getting mixed messages of like, oh, I have to learn how to put my fingers in the dirt to feel. And what is too wet? And it was that when I'm in that when I'm really present for that, there actually isn't any room for ego to be present.
Yeah, boy, that's everything too, isn't it? That's right. There's nothing left over.
There's nothing
All
left
of the
over.
All attention is here in this moment, this here now.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever want to apply your skills, Laura, I don't know if you know, but we have a farm up here in Flint, just so you know.
Yes. Soon, very soon.
So fun. Parallel lives. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Thank you.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
And Michael, we will turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Laura, and thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I think you're inspiring more farmers, Sherry.
I love it. Yeah, boy, do we have a job for her. But, you know, I was laughing as I was listening to Laura describe that process. I wish I'd gotten with her and gotten some good advice about keep it simple, right? Just five plants is enough. You don't have to have 50 plants. I really appreciated that. That is a great deal of wisdom. You can love just as much with five plants as with 50. Oh. Maybe more. I don't know. Yeah, that was wonderful. Yeah. And I was thinking also, she has a caprese salad, which, you know, in the summertime, come on. That's as good as it gets. Well, just need a little cheese and away you go.
There you go. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Now, let me try this other button here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello. Let's see. Well, I thought I would maybe talk about the staying in something that makes you unhappy.
Yep. We all know that one, don't we?
Yep. Yeah, sorry, it's just a little emotional right now. Yeah, because I can see that process with the relationship that I've been in. And we've been kind of separated for a couple of weeks now. And I'm just seeing lots of resistance to lots of stories about what it would mean to walk away, and one of the big things when I jotted it down, you know, from the blog, like the first thing that came up was it'll hurt him, it'll, you know, and which is, that's what's there in this content right now, but I can see that in other content, you know, that process in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Other really,
you recognize that that's a place that you go to. So there's you, but then the focus is on what's important to you or whatever it is. How will that affect someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And then the tendency to make a decision based on that.
Yeah, or at least get tortured about it.
Right. Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the damned if you do and damned if you don't, right? So if you stay because you're taking care of someone else, then you suffer because you're not being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
If you take care of you, then you're tortured because you're not taking care of somebody else. So, yeah, two bad choices.
Right. And when we were together, I was being tortured with, what are you doing in this relationship? And, you know, that. So I can see that it's just now on the other side of the duality.
Well, and I'm guessing that you're seeing that this is one content in a in a pattern. Right? That's what happens with you. That's how you're tortured. You're tortured while you're in it. You're tortured if you want to leave it.
you're tortured after you leave it.
Yeah.
You know, that there's never a moment where torture wouldn't be the appropriate thing for ego to bring to the situation.
Yeah, it's yeah, as you're saying that, it's kind of making me imagine, like, yeah, what would it look like to not have that?
I think that would be a fruitful imagining. Yes, exactly so. Yeah. Because, you know, it kind of takes me back to the first caller, right? It could conceivably go in the direction of, well, you know, this hasn't worked out the way I hoped, but we've had this amount of time in a kind and loving relationship, the best that we could both do. And so we can feel really good about the time that we had together.
Yeah.
But not a direction that ego would ever be excited about.
Yeah, I was struck by that in the previous conversation of, yeah, because I do feel really grateful for a lot of what was there, and that feels very whatever his experience is, you know, I can't control, but
that's right, you can't that we know about, well, that we know, and then of course the ego voices want to beat that knowledge right out of us, but if you decided that what you were going to do is stay in the relationship so that you wouldn't make him unhappy, that there's the assumption, first of all, that ultimately that wouldn't make both of you completely miserable. Right? And so so much of what we are tortured with by the ego voices are based on imaginary events that we're talked into believing are true, that somehow if you stayed together you wouldn't be unhappy, he wouldn't be unhappy, you'd be both be happy, and yet we suspect that might not be exactly the case.
Yeah, because it's like There's a sense that conditioning kind of cherry picks, like, oh, what about this wonderful memory, or what about this wonderful feeling, or what about this, you know, and there's not the bigger context of what has this been like, you know,
yeah,
the whole picture.
Yeah, and that's not to deny those things, right? That's not to deny it, but it's to be realistic. Yeah, we could make that list of wonderful things. And let's not lose sight of all of the reasons that I got to the place of knowing that it's time to leave the situation. And then, of course, very often what we're told is, well, first of all, of course, it's your fault. If you were a different person, then these things wouldn't bother you or whatever it is.
Right.
there. That's where that's going to go.
Yeah, and something that was coming up earlier today was just kind of being struck by, like, I mean, I'm just going to say it, share the thing that happened that caused me to leave was that he hit me. And the fact that I'm still allowed to leave him, you know, like, under that circumstance. But I'm still getting a hard time from the voices about that.
Yes. And I'm guessing where you're going with this is that the real relationship, that there are two relationships that you really need to end. Both of them abusive.
Yep.
right? The one with the other human, and the one with the ego voices.
Yeah, because he hasn't been around these last few weeks, right? It's the voices that are causing me to suffer right now.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I'm betting caused you to suffer for a while, right? Because these things don't tend to happen overnight, mm-hmm. right? But we get talked into it and rationalize it and listen to the voices tell us how this and how that and how something else. And so to get really, the opportunity in this is to get really clear that the truly damaging relationship is with those voices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's if there's a wish that that I'm allowed, it would be that you just end it. You end it, right? So you know, when it's another human being, you know, we can sometimes, depending on how the relationship is, get to that place of we're not talking, we're not emailing, we're not messaging each other, we're not sharing friends, we need to get out of one another's lives. Mm-hmm. We need to have a break. And to have that kind of relationship with those voices, we need to break up. I'm not engaging with you anymore. I'm not listening to you. I'm not believing you. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, because that way it's like conditioning just wants me to focus on the content of the relationship, like make the right decision about this, but that's there's sort of two parallel tracks.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've been talking about, I don't know where I've been on this jag recently, but about not conflating, not allowing ego to conflate two things that don't actually have anything to do with one another. Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect example of it right there.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the way that can work, of course, is it can get you talking about the content, even talking about the process that it happened on the call this morning, where we don't realize that we're in that relationship because it's not emotional. It just sounds intelligent, reasonable. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. You need to resolve these issues. You need to get clear about this. You need to know what. And we fail to realize that, whoa, wait a minute. I'm in a conversation with the egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do that because it's going to get ugly. And it can be the same way with a relationship with a person. You know, maybe we could just check in once in a while to see how we can know it's not going to go well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe at some point. But with the voices, never.
Yeah.
And it's hard, right? In a way, it's harder because there was a time when he wasn't in your life. There are times, even when you were together, where you weren't together, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. with those voices, we are so used to them. Mm-hmm. They are just around the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And so to break up with them, that takes some commitment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is the perfect time for it, because as you've noticed, they're going to be focused. This is perfect. They can torture you, you know, in the medium times. They can torture you in the good times. But in a time like this, oof.
Yeah. It's sometimes the fact that if I'm not committed, I will be in suffering. It's very motivating.
Exactly so. Yes. Yeah, that truly, this kind of life experience, these moments in our lives are the ones that we really want to take advantage of to get clear about the relationship, the real relationship that we're ending.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, you will move on. You will. Mm-hmm. And things will get sort of back to normal, whatever that is. And the voices will quiet down. And, yeah. And so to take advantage of this time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be as visible and audible as they're ever going to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful way, of course, to be with you.
Hmm.
Kind of like the, you know, when the voice came in that said, "Is that okay? I got this. I got you. You don't."
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's the relationship
mm-hmm.
that we're cultivating.
Yeah. And seeing it that way, it makes me feel a little more excited about it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. This is your time to really work on and solidify that relationship, so that whoever comes down the pike in the future,
mm-hmm.
they're going to come into a different situation.
Yep. Thank you.
Well, you are very welcome. You just keep on taking really good care of her.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Sherry, we are 4 minutes to the hour here.
Oh, 4 minutes. My little Fitbit here said 2. 4 minutes. We can do that.
Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, you are now live on the air.
Hi, this is April in North Dakota.
Hey, April.
So I was doing a surgery today on a live patient, a surgery for the first time. A surgery that I have prepared for 9 months to do.
Uh-huh.
And countless hours of preparing for this surgery. And my assistant, I'm just going to be honest, she's always got drama, so she couldn't pay attention, which is a daily thing. She couldn't pay attention and couldn't help me and couldn't be there mentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To the point of we took like a quick break once during this 5-hour surgery, and I had to go find her and say, "We're waiting for you. Like, we're all standing here ready to start." And she said, "Oh, I forgot, we have to hurry."
Oh dear.
And so I am furious because I'm using all of my mental power to take care of this patient who is awake, alive, and step by step do this meticulous little tiny, tiny microsurgery, and she's not present.
Mm.
And this happens now, all the time.
now, you know what my question is going to be.
I don't know what your question is going to be.
Why do you keep her?
Well, because she's the best that I've got going right now.
Hmm.
But what dropped in after the anger subsided as I listened to Open Air this hour, what was under the anger was I felt very alone.
Yeah.
I was doing something very, very hard, and this is a familiar place for me of doing something very, very hard, and the person that I'm depending on flakes out, and I am all alone doing something very, very hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, April, this is where we say this is good to see. Okay.
Yeah.
Because this is a sounds like a lifelong.
Yes. Yes. This is very familiar.
And, It's very familiar, and you got to see it with practice, right? Because now you're practicing in a way that enables you to see so much more, you know, than you have seen in the past, right? And so as you get clearer and clearer and clearer about this, about you and all of the stuff that goes with it, I'm betting that you're going to be open to the possibility of having someone assist you who can actually be there and assist you. That you don't need to stay in that karma just because you've had it for a really long time.
I don't have to think about that. I honestly, that didn't even cross my mind. What crossed my mind was to make a recording and put it in my ears of me helping me through something very, because I can't control another person. I can't always make someone be present, but I put on a recording that is encouraging me so I don't feel alone.
Okay, so remember a minute ago when I was talking about not conflating things?
I don't know what that word means.
Oh, not mushing two things together that don't go together.
Okay.
I hope that's what it means, April. I'll look it up afterwards. Yeah.
Okay.
So yes, absolutely, to have that recording in your ear, encouraging you, supporting you, absolutely. That doesn't mean you don't look for someone to be in a position of being of service to you.
Oh, okay.
You're right. So both of those things are true. You take care of you in that situation, and you find someone who can do their job, which is being of assistance to you as you do your job.
Oh.
That's the definition of an assistant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not to say, oh, well, it's all on me. I just need to do whatever I need to do to be all right, no matter what's happening around me. Yes. But that doesn't mean you have to tolerate situations that are not good. Because you know how to take care of yourself.
just because I can fly solo doesn't mean I can't ask for what I need.
A co-pilot. And if you have a co-pilot, you want one that can stay awake.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Yes. Thank you, Gusho.
Thank you, April. Gusho.
Thanks for joining us, April. And wow, that was fabulous, Sherry.
A lot of fun, huh? We know how to have a good time in practice, don't we?
Yes. Enlightening, mm-hmm. helpful, fun. Who could ask for more?
You could ask for more. Yeah, it's a good life. It's a good life. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it so much.
You too. Thank you, everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.